welcome to Will It Game, the podcast about pitching crappy board games from one board family. Today, I'm Ryan Gutowski, and I'm here, as always, with...
Rick White. I figure I should start singing and see how that goes.
I like that. I add some flavor to the show. You never know. Sweet. How's Rick going to introduce himself?
Yeah, I just hope we get the rights to it.
Yeah, that's a iffy one right there. Because what was that, like 4 seconds?
Yep. Oof. Yep, it might be close.
So today we have a guest judge with us, Jason Tagmeyer of Button Shy Games. How are you doing today, Jason?
Oh, I was just going to sing it and I missed it.
Oh, crap.
I didn't want to get sued either, so.
Yeah.
That's true. You see, we can afford it because we're loaded.
Obviously.
You know? Button Shy, you guys make small games and, you know.
I'm a publisher. There's no loaded here.
Yeah. We're professional podcasters.
Yeah.
And Rick's a teacher.
Yeah.
So we make, you know, we got money.
We make ones of dollars.
See, I'm married to a teacher, so I make those. I share those ones.
It's all about the Washingtons, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jason, tell us a little about yourself and tell us about Button Shy Games. You guys do some pretty, really cool stuff.
So I am game designer, publisher, all that fun stuff from New Jersey. Been doing this for a while, you know, a little over 10 years, maybe 5 hardcore years of doing it. And I publish through Button Shy Games. And what we do is we make small little, I call them wallet games. I don't really call them micro games, because sometimes micro just means they're small in content.
But we called them micro games on one of our previous episodes, so sorry about that.
I don't care what anybody else does, you know, like whatever it takes. I don't think micro games is wrong. I just think sometimes people might dismiss that as something that I don't consider them to be, which is, you know, they're games that can sit alongside of other games. They just come in a small package. And that's kind of the publishing goal, is always to make them compete with the larger ones and but they're small. They're 18 cards. They come in a little wallet. We make a new one each month and try to kind of hit the industry in a way that nobody else is doing.
Yeah, you guys do something special. I mean, the way that you guys are pumping out games and the fact that you guys are producing games that are quality and regularly on people's top of mind when they're having game nights or people over or bring things to dinner. Like it's really cool what Button Shy does. So great job, Jason.
Thank you. It took forever to get there. So it's cool that we're actually seeing that now.
So Jason, your job is to, where Rick is going to pitch a game, I'm going to pitch a game, and then you're going to come in and you're going to make a swift judgment on which game is the least crappy. So do you feel prepared to do that today?
Yes, I am so ready.
Excellent. So Rick, you've got our first game, and the theme that Jason picked today is sci-fi. I don't remember if we've done a sci-fi theme yet. So 27 episodes in, I think it's a good time for sci-fi.
Yes, indeed. And I'm going to try, you know, with sci-fi, it can be difficult to find new territory. Like, I kept inventing games that already exist, which is very difficult. But my game is going to be My Prom Dates an Alien. So, you know, we've got games like Fog of Love, which explore human relationships. And then, you know, like in the video game series Mass Effect, you can have like a romantic relationship with an alien. But one thing that you don't see explored all that often are relationships between alien teenagers. So we're going to be hitting that. Everybody's been demanding it. Let's go ahead and hit that market. So this game's going to be a little bit of like the card game Marrying Mr. Darcy, which we've talked about on the show before, and then the game Tales of Arabian Nights. So you are going to have at the beginning of the game a set of prom dates set out, each of which will match you at various levels. So you'll all be a character, and then there will be dates available. And so why do you match? Well, maybe you've got the same kind of antenna, or maybe you know, use your telekinetic powers together. Well, who knows? But you've got a board in the that's going to represent a school building, and you'll move a token around the board, and different scenarios will take place based on die rolls and equipment or skills that you have as a character. Now, all these scenarios will be some that you'd expect when you're at an intergalactic high school. So, like, you're trying to give a kid a wedgie, but he's got tentacles and you don't know how to get the underwear just right. Or maybe you're trying to set it up to where your lab partner that you're with is not combustible, because we all know that could be bad. Or maybe it's lunchtime and you've got to eat reptilian larvae without getting the lunch lady upset at you. You know, all those scenarios that you might expect. So as these take place, you get to determine how you respond based on a list of things. So like with the wedgie, it might be if you've got the scissors, maybe you're able to do the wedgie just right. Or maybe you are kind to the kid, or maybe you're meaner to the kid, or maybe you run away, who knows. But whatever you determine, you'll have some sort of impact based on your skills, and the result of that scenario will change your skills. So we'll have some different things that we track. Right now I've got looks, smoothness, popularity, and swagger. And you'll play a number of rounds, eventually moving to a particular location on the board where you'll ask a person to go to prom. And then you'll have to try to match with that person based on the characteristics that you've built up over the game and a die roll that you'll do. And the person with the most points from characteristics and from their prom date will win the game. And that is My Prom Date's an Alien.
Sounds like it has some depth, man. Very nice. I like it.
I know, right?
Yeah, I do too. I can see this happening.
Yeah, everybody, you know, and I think this is going to be key on artwork. We got to make sure that, you know, it's nice and fun, or, you know, like terrifying. I think either one works for me.
Yeah, I think having a little bit of each would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I'm still working on our expansions, but I think the expansion might be Homecoming, where we're going to throw in some athletic events as well, so that you kind of have that those extra scenarios you might face.
So are you a human or are you an alien as well?
There'll be a set of characters that you can pick from. Some of them will be human, but some of them will be alien. And, you know, there's no matching or worrying about gender or anything because, you know, you're all aliens. Who knows what anything is? So you're just trying to match any of the people that are available, and you get to be one of the people that's out there as a character.
That's cool. When you said the expansion, I can imagine a whole series of, like, this, whatever this school is and all the different ways that you can play games in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm starting a franchise. You know, why not right here on Will It Game?
That's what the best part about sci-fi is. You just might as well start a franchise.
Exactly. Hugh Jackman is already signed on to be the principal on the box art. It's awfully nice of him.
Wow.
But also, he's going to be blue and have 17 arms. So that's going to be
good
a little
use
weird.
Of Hugh Jackman, though. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what I immediately associate with Alien High School.
Just his likeness, but not his actual acting abilities.
Correct. Or it'll be like one of those Hallmark cards. When you open the box, you'll get a different Hugh Jackman phrase every time you open the box. And it'll
be good.
Yeah, it's detention for you, Sleazak, or something like that. I don't know. You know, who knows what we'll get going.
This is a good pitch, Rick.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of worried about
it's been a while.
Worried about mine. Yeah. Oh, okay, here we go with my pitch. There goes the neighborhood. That's the name of the game. You have a set of dice with symbols on them, and you also have this really nice UFO playmat. This playmat is going to be the centerpiece of the player board. For the original, this one's a Kickstarter game. I know that I don't pitch many Kickstarters. I'm trying to do a little more on Kickstarter, do some crowdfunding stuff like Rick's done. I want to be successful like him when I grow up. So this UFO playmat, in its original format, it will be just standard cardboard playmat that has a really nice UFO with a couple different slots that you can upgrade. But then the deluxe version will be this really nice neoprene mat, different colors for the different players. It's going to be a real, real gorgeous piece. In the center of the table, you've got two rows of cards. One row is your neighbors, not your neighbors because you're the space aliens. Right. And then on the other row, it's upgrades to your UFO. And what you're going to do is you're going to use your dice on your turn. You're going to be able to roll, I'm thinking 6 to 7 dice. I haven't finalized a number yet, but 6 or 7 dice. You're going to roll these dice and you're going to get 3 opportunities to get the dice that you want, kind of like Yahtzee. And then you are going to spend the dice on either upgrading your ship or beaming up neighbors. So maybe you spend two shields, and you spend those 2 shields on a piece of equipment that's going to make your make your particular UFO impenetrable to your neighbors, and then maybe you take a couple neighbors that are on the board for points. The neighbor cards are all going to have really cool illustrations that are going to be neighbors either mowing their lawn or trimming their hedges, or maybe they're grilling out in the backyard. And as you pick up the neighbor, on the back is going to be a frightened version of the neighbor, almost like they just got beamed up, and it's going to have a point value on the neighbor. Each of the neighbors are going to have a hidden point value, kind of like if you were going fishing, you didn't know what size fish you were getting, but you knew a range. And so that's how you're going to determine victory points at the end of the game. After a certain number of rounds, you're going to count up the neighbors that you have taken control of, and you're going to be able to see who has the most victory points. Now, there's a couple little twists. Some of the neighbors will actually protect their other neighbors. So let's say you go after the guy who he's got maybe a military supply shed out in the backyard. He protects the two neighbors to the left and right. So if you're targeting one of those neighbors, you may have to roll double what you need for that neighbor, because they're being protected by the little friend in the middle there. And then you also have a little bit of take that. You can take some of your dice and some of your upgraded material and shoot other UFOs and take neighbors that they've brought into their UFO. So it's going to be a little bit of take that from time to time, trying to get the most victory points. And the game, there goes the neighborhood.
So have you played Dream Home? Have you ever played that?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, we got a copy of Dream Home from one of our Patreon donors this year for Christmas.
If this was Dream Home, but the Alien Edition, because the greatest thing about Dream Home is just looking at it at the end and seeing. Like, it's a great game as you play.
I could see that. That's actually a good comparison.
So just having this cool, you got the UFO and then you've got the neighbors in your little neighborhood. I could see that being like a really cool end game. Yeah, and being just really unique in how it looks.
See, I was thinking of the game, video game series Destroy All Humans, as you were describing this. And I was thinking about going around and flinging cows at people and probing everyone in sight. That's immediately what popped into my brain.
27 episodes that you've named probing in 23 of them.
I know, we're all disappointed, and you have spoken to me many times about it, and I have refused to stop.
Every episode I email you telling you stop. So.
And now we think if I bring it to the attention of the audience, maybe he'll quit.
One day.
The alien theme just lends itself to it, too. Sorry about that. Really,
so you're the catalyst for this. Thanks, Jason.
I got to think of a non-probing theme.
Don't worry, I'll make it connect to everything.
But yeah, I think that Dream Home thing is really cool to me. So and a fancy playmat's always nice, you know, that's always cool. Yeah. And people love that Yahtzee mechanic.
So you've heard these two amazing game pitches. In our mind, they're amazing. So which would you say is the least crappy in your professional opinion?
All right, so I've got some notes I'm looking at. I've got my own designs that I wrote my own design names that are kind of like each of them. So I have some experience in the crappy side of designing games that were space dating and UFO dice games. I think that space dating is going to be a harder sell. I think it's one of those things. I try to avoid real life themes, and
you're right. Space dating is too real. I got to bring it back a little bit.
Space dating it hits a little bit on that. Might strike somebody a little too close to home. You know, there goes the neighborhood. You know, that's sort of like it's a little bit dreamy. You know, you think of. You know, your neighbors are probably not that bad, but, you know, this neighborhood's probably a little spacier and funkier than your normal one. So I think that the neighborhood is a little less crappy.
Whoa! Okay. I felt good about this one, and gotta say, I'm disappointed.
Similar to space dates, Rick can't get a win.
Exactly, so. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the tentacle wedgie all over again. Oh.
Tentacle wedgie is very good, though. That I made a note about that. That is actually very good.
Maybe that should be the next game that I pitch. This game is called Tentacle Wedgie.
You would have went more tentacle wedgie.
Oh, dang it. So you know good. What? That's something I'm going to put on my resume.
The beauty of the tentacle wedgie was the problem that it presented was just how you do it. And I think that was probably the highlight of the entire both pitches.
Well, I'm glad that's all I came away with. Oh, I'm going to go cry.
It's its own mini game now.
Ryan, if you want to wrap up the episode, I'll be weeping in the corner.
As usual. So, Jason, tell us once again where we can find your amazing wallet games over at Button Shy. Give us some information on where our listeners can follow you and find your games.
So, let's see. The website, the Instagram, all that, just tentaclewedgie.com.
Yes. Excuse me while I buy that domain name right now.
Buttonshygames.com. Every social media is just Buttonshy. It's me, Jay Tagmeyer. You can find all of our stuff. We don't really sell to stores for the most part. We sell everything direct to our customers so that we can have an awesome relationship with nobody else in between. So anything Buttonshy will be us. There's not really anything else that's going to share that name.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jason. And for all the listeners out there, you can vote on your favorite game pitch. Head over to
TentacleWedgie.com.
TentacleWedgie.com. Facebook.com/OneBoardFamily. And you can date on Rick's Sci-Fi Adventure, My Prom Dates an Alien, or There Goes the Neighborhood from Ryan Gutowski. Be sure to vote. We'll have this poll up for 1 week after the episode airs. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.